On Twitter, the handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. You know the drill. How is Team Fentress doing this week?
We're doing well, man. Just watching the snow melt. You guys didn't get any snow, did you?
Nope. It's raining a little bit. It was actually sunny yesterday. I was actually shooting hoops after I walked my dog in the morning. So
nice. Well, our little puppy, well, she's not so little anymore. She enjoyed the snow fairly. So we're doing well. But why you wanted to I was doing well until I heard your intro and you got me all depressed.
So I obviously wanted to know if somebody with all you. First of all, you got your Mariota obsession, and you obviously you would hold out hopes for Watson. So now somebody brings up Sam Darnold, and your reaction is,
"You got to be kidding me! Bring back Trubisky. I'd rather keep Trubisky than go." I mean, okay, I'm a big believer in young quarterbacks need time to grow. Like we've seen. I mean, look at Josh Allen this year. A lot of people were writing him off after 2 years. And he exploded. So young quarterbacks can blossom down the road. So if they signed Sam Darnold, I would put, you know, I would come on that week and I would say he's going to be amazing because that's the fan in me. That's what fans do, right? But right now, looking at it, I was thinking Wentz would be a good option. I do think Wentz is better than he was last year. To go to Darnold is a little frightening because teams don't usually give up on top three picks inside of 3 years. Which is what the Jets are doing. So that's a little frightening. So, yeah, I would not be happy with that. I would like to see them either trade for Mariota or keep Trubisky, to be honest with you, at this point. Unless Carr is available, I'd go that route. But, man, it's not looking very good for a regime that has to win next year. And by win, you know, 10 games probably to keep their jobs. Pretty scary for them.
Vince Evans.
Marcus.
Vince Evans is coming back at age 57.
Vince Evans.
Oh, man.
I would love to be able to like get Nagy on the phone and say, okay, why don't you like Mariota? Because to me, they should have signed him last year. And I know he's had his ups and downs. Most of them were injury-driven. But Nagy likes to run a quick passing game. He wants someone who's smart, who can make quick reads. Likes to do these intricate little things that are completely unnecessary. Like he wants to show, look at this play I drew up. It's so genius. But then he gives it to a quarterback not capable of handling it. Trubisky's more of a more simplistic. Give him the hook with a flat round, and it's not there. Run. Marcus is really good at all that little intricate stuff, and he's really quick with his release. And he's really accurate, especially short to intermediate stuff. He would fit perfectly, and he can run. His problem is he's not a great deep ball thrower, and so that has hurt him in some, you know, things other coaches have tried to do with him. But if you spread everything out and you let him be athletic and get rid of the ball quickly, I think he can be truly effective. I still believe that. And he would fit with what the Bears want. So I don't even understand why this is an issue. Just call the Raiders and say, we'll give you a fourth-round pick, done.
You know, that brings me, I know your pride and joy is your 34 Bears jersey, but if they got Mariota, would you spring for an 8?
I'd have to see what he did first.
You know.
If he was killing it, like if he killed it that first year and then signed a long-term deal, I'd probably get a Mariota 8, yeah.
All right. So the show before me is Tiki and Tierney with Tiki Barber. So they asked a question I thought was really interesting. With the NFL salary cap, and then you have the magnitude of some of these crazy contracts they give out quarterbacks, what's more dangerous to a franchise, drafting the wrong quarterback or paying the wrong quarterback? We were kicking that around, and I was like, that's actually a pretty legit question.
Oh, definitely. It's paying the wrong quarterback for sure, because in either situation, if you're signing a guy to a deep contract or using a high draft pick, you're obviously committing to that guy and you're rolling the dice that they're going to be the guy. If the draft pick doesn't work out, that stinks because maybe you passed up on someone better. So that's going to hurt, like the Bears. They passed up on Trubisky and Watson. But Trubisky didn't cost them a ton of money, so that failure wasn't a financial disaster as well. You sign someone to a $100 million deal, you know, with $60 million guaranteed, and they're not any good, well, it's hard to get rid of them because there's a cap hit, and who's going to want him, you know, anyway, because of the cap hit? You can't get much in return. I mean, look what happened with Wentz. They used a high pick on Wentz. Things didn't work out, although it's not all his fault, I don't believe. They want to move off of him. They give up. They got a third and a conditional second, right?
Yep.
And they're going to take that cap penalty. So it's like, so you spend a high pick, And then you got a third pick back, maybe a second, and it costs you a boatload of money. That's disastrous.
We're talking with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. So the Blazers lose C.J. McCollum on the heels of Nurkic. Nice. And they get that game last night. I mean, they're so fun to watch. They've won six in a row. And I think you're with me on this based on what you've said on Twitter. Because in January, when they slipped and slid a little bit, you heard the what I call the anti-Stotts whiners. But I mean, you got to kind of hand it to a guy winning these games. Because they're shorthanded.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's talking about Lillard for MVP. Well, you have to put Stotts in the conversation for Coach of the Year based on losing his second and third best player. And, you know, having to bring along some young players to make plays on offense and hope everything gels together enough on defense to close out games, which they've been able to do. He's done a good job. He just has. There's no way around it. I mean, as great as Lillard has been, I'm actually writing a piece to Post later today looking at all the other things that have gone right for them. Post these injuries to McCollum and Nurkic. Lillard obviously has raised his production, but he's gone from 27 points a game to 11, you know, since McCollum went out. It's getting Trent to play like a starter and then Simons to play like a legitimate backup. Both those guys are shooting 45% from three.
Wow.
I mean, that's just exactly. That's insane. That's better than what McCollum was. He's at 44%, and Lillard's at 37, I think. So those two guys are giving them, you know, seven makes a game, so about, what, 7 of 12 a game or something like that, 7 of 13 a game combined every night. That's 21 points from, you know, two guys who were the third and fourth guards on the team. That's huge. And Ed Cantor has been better than Nurkic has been this season. Not better than peak Nurkic, but better than Nurkic this season. And they've had a lot of games where their defense maybe didn't play great and they have a bad defensive rating. But in the final minutes of games when they've needed stops, they've stepped up as a defense. Like, they figure it out and they get after it. That play, that last play last night where they, you know, thwarted two shots by the Pelicans, giving them both bad looks, and they both missed badly. That was a great defensive sequence for them. So there's been a lot of things that have gone right. Oh, Carmelo Anthony, they're 7-1 when he's 18 points or more. In the last nine games, they've won eight. He's averaging 17 points while shooting just over 40% from three. That's a huge uptick from where he was before CJ went down. So the whole team is doing a great job around Lillard, and Stotts is a part of that.
You know, we talked about Covington when they first got him and what he might be capable of. And, yeah, night in, night out, he might not bring the offense. But like you mentioned, his defense at the end last night, where he was in the guy's jock, but he didn't commit any contact, and he didn't buy any of the head fakes, and he's had like 10 block shots the last two games. I mean, I don't think they could be much more pleased than what they're getting from him.
Yeah, not at all. He is hitting his peak so far. Now, I mean, he could probably get better, obviously, but so far he's starting to put it together on both sides, too, because in addition to him, you know, he got a huge steal against Philadelphia to lock in that game. He locked down Ingram last night and forced him to give it up the ball for a deep three. You mentioned the defensive stats he's been putting up. But in the last month, he's shooting over 40% from three. So that's coming into form as well, right when they needed it when McCollum goes down. So, no, he started out slowly, and I don't think that was a huge surprise, or maybe shouldn't have been, given the short training camp, given all the new things they were doing. But he's definitely starting to find a groove right now.
All right, we continue with Mr. Fentress on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. I wanted to talk about another kind of thing where I think we're unified, and I love people who get bent out of shape talking about the MVP race, because first of all, now it's going to be LeBron or Embiid, now Lillard's in it, and it's like the folks who get angry in mid-February with all this ball left. I mean, that's next level insanity, isn't it?
Oh, man, dude, I think there's a lot of emotional anxiety in Portland with the Blazers because they haven't won a championship for so long. Everyone knows that major stars don't want to come to Portland. They have this major star that they drafted who's committed, like he's going to stay here until the bitter end. And if a championship doesn't come, they at least want this young man who carries himself so amazingly well to be recognized as the best, because in a lot of ways, that is also recognition of Portland, which it hasn't received a ton of since the Drexler era. So I think that's part of it, but it just leads people to just, like, go overboard with some of this. It's February. It's not even February of a normal season that started in October. It's February in a season that started in late December. So you're 28 games into a 72-game season. No one wins the MVP in the first third of a season. You can go back to the Seahawks. People were talking to MVP for Russell after the first four or five games, right? And I remember telling some Twitter fan that I communicate with all the time. He was like, if he doesn't get the MVP, there's a problem. There's no way he's not getting it. I'm like, dude, it's October. What are you talking early October? What are you talking about? And then, of course, he fell out of the race because things changed. I don't think that's going to happen with Lillard. I think it's a different animal, different sport. I think he's going to be in the thick of this. And what he's doing right now, carrying this team to 18-10, which I did not see coming with, even without McCollum in there, because I didn't see 18, or excuse me, even if those two were playing, I didn't really see 18-10 in there. Future, but the fact that they're doing this is amazing, and most of that has to do with him. So yeah, he's definitely in the mix. But it's funny to me, like, people are not looking at other people's numbers. Like, Jokic averages, I think, 2 or 3 points fewer than Lillard on the season, but he's averaging more rebounds, more assists, better field goal percentage, better 3-point percentage, better true shooting percentage. Like, you cannot ignore that. Curry, I mean, people talk about what Dame doesn't have. Curry's not going to have Clay for the entire season. If he gets that team into the playoffs, he's an MVP candidate, and his numbers across the board, for the most part, especially his shooting numbers, are better than Lillard's. Embiid is going off. LeBron is being LeBron. Kawhi Leonard. Like, there's so many different guys to even adopt the point of view that Lillard is the guy because they beat a bunch of bad Eastern Conference teams, you know, and the Pelicans. Here's the thing. Of their eight out of nine wins I mentioned, I think six of the eight are against sub-500 teams, and the two against above-500 teams are both against Philly, and one of them against Philly was won without Lillard.
It's so weird.
Which is actually a knock on Lillard in a way. I mean, I don't mean it to be one, but if we're playing that game, I had a fan say this to me, we've beaten Philly twice, they're the best team in the East, Lillard's MVP. I'm like, but Lillard wasn't even in one of those games. Ooh, that doesn't matter. But again, it all comes down to, it's February, man. Like, they just won 60 in a row. Are they going to win 60 in a row? No. Are they never going to have a losing streak? Of course they are. Like, next week they play Phoenix, Denver, and the Lakers. If they go 3-0 on that trip, that's a different animal. Or even if they just go 2-1 on that trip.
Yeah.
But it's just way too early. It's just way too early to get bent out of shape about it. Talk about it, but don't get bent out of shape about it.
Yeah, and by the way, what if Dallas goes on a run? Doncic is pretty good, too, at 29-9-9.
His numbers are insane, too.
All right, we got to end with one more ridiculous conversation. So I saw this on Twitter. We know the rookie, brother of Lonzo, LaMelo Ball, is on the Hornets. There's Carmelo Anthony of Portland. Somebody ran a poll, says, who's the real Melo? And I was like, dude, you should do jail time for even bringing this up. I mean, some people get so stuck in their own time and mind. I know that drives me nuts. I know it drives you nuts, too.
Oh, absolutely. I would hope that person was being a little tongue-in-cheek, you know? I mean, clearly the true Melo is the guy who's already a Hall of Famer, who's a former scoring champ and a 10-time All-Star, and not the guy who's coming off the bench for the Hornets, who looks amazing. Like, he looks like he's going to be really good, so I'm not trying to disparage him at all. But, you know, you can't just come into the league and take someone else's nickname. And, you know, to me also, if I were him, I wouldn't want to be known as Melo, because there already is a Melo.
Right.
Just call me LaMelo. Just call me LaMelo. There you go. That's who I am. I wouldn't want, you know, be a player and people want to start calling me Magic. No. That's the last thing I'd ever want to be called. There's already Magic Johnson. Don't give me someone else's nickname. Come up with something else for me.
Yeah, I
call me LaBall.
I tweeted at the guy. I said, and by the way, in passing, if we're talking NBA and we say the name Michael, it's not Aloha Candy. It's Jordan.
Aloha Candy, nice.
Nice. All right, folks. He's Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress. Fun stuff as always. Enjoy. Catch up next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy.